From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I've lived and worked in Center City, Philadelphia for years now, and I take it for granted that when I walk around near my office, I'm going to pass maybe 5 or 10 people who are homeless.
A new report by the Pew Charitable Trusts puts the focus on Philadelphia's poor. Who are they? Where do they
live? City in the nation that many of our friends and neighbors don't have that much.
The city's median household income was lower in 2016 than in 2015. On average, other
as a poor city in the throes of a major drug epidemic, it wouldn't be surprising that Philadelphia might have a lot of people who are homeless. But actually, compared to other cities, it doesn't. At last count, Philadelphia had about 1,000 people living on the street. Compare that to L.A., where the number is roughly 20,000. So why does Philly, the poorest big city in the country, have a relatively small homeless population? Today's show, Gimme Shelter. WHYY's Aaron Mozell went to find out why Philadelphia's numbers are lower than other cities.
So there's a lot of answers to that question, but one of the main reasons is this one organization that's been around for some time. It's called Project Home. Project Home is this nonprofit organization that started in the late 80s by this Catholic nun and activist, Sister Mary Scullion. And at this point, it's kind of like the homeless organization in Philadelphia.
We get calls from hospitals. We get calls from police. We get calls from the Center City District. We get calls from, you know, so many concerned citizens that people need a place to stay.
I should mention there are a lot of other folks doing this work. It's just that Project Home, over the years, has gained a lot of support both from the city, both from the, you know, community of folks who do this work.
One of the other things that sets Philadelphia apart is that, unlike some cities, it has this office that serves as a hub for all the services that the city and other organizations work together to provide.
When I talk to experts who, you know, are in this field, who study homelessness over and over, they said, this is the thing that makes Philly stand out.
Having a centralized place when the teams are out there on the street, we know where people are living on the street.
The idea of having a center where all of the city's outreach teams are under one roof and it's geographically organized, you know, that simply just wasn't done before.
We know how many men, how many women, what's their primary diagnosis or whether they're really struggling with, so that we can plan for what kind of housing we need to develop and we need to support.
So what is the outreach center like? What happens there?
Part of it acts kind of like a 911 center in a sense, but for homeless folks living on the street. So there are, you know, on a given shift, maybe two, maybe three folks manning some phones inside this office space.
That's not a call. That's a they talk about we didn't update our Google.
And basically they take calls from either neighbors or sometimes people who are homeless themselves calling saying, hey, I would like some help.
And so there are a few people in the outreach center taking these calls, and you talk to one of them.
Right. Her name's Sharita Green, but nobody calls her that. She goes by Gigi.
I guess I was a greedy child, so my grandmother called me greedy gut. Some of my family members still do, but she said I can't let her go outside being called greedy gut, so she shortened it to Gigi.
Yeah, she's been doing this for about 15 years. She was actually homeless herself.
I was homeless. I was on drugs. I've been to jail. I've done all that. Like, those people out there are me.
And, you know, usually she is kind of like the dispatch center. Like, it's her and one other person.
So what I'll get a call, get all the information I can on this sheet, then I'll dispatch one of our teams to the location.
You know, the city has 7 teams, so 14 people total doing this. They'll send a team out to that location and engage the person.
To offer the person emergency shelter, showers, change of clothes, something. They can say no, or they might go. Most times they say no, but we'll just keep checking every day. Once a person's on our radar, we'll keep circling around trying to hoping one day they will say yeah.
She's taking phone calls, she's taking notes, and she sort of keeps track of where people are, what they're doing. which shelters have available spaces. So there's all these things that she's kind of keeping track of.
And this kind of speaks a little bit to the fact that Philly maybe has smaller numbers than other cities. Sometimes when she gets a call, depending on where it's coming from the city, she can almost predict like who the call is going to be about or who the call might be coming from. And she gives an example about this woman that she's gotten multiple calls about, right?
Right. So after doing this for 15 years, sometimes when she hears a location, she knows who they're talking about. And when I was there with her, she said, oh, that's the woman with the squirrel. And I said, what do you mean? How do you know this is a woman with the squirrel? And she said, oh, she's always there.
And she's been there at least 6 years on that church step. She's the only one that doesn't change. Like, it's always somebody on the church steps, but they rotate. She's the only one that never leaves.
If they say there's a woman at Broad and Arch, like, sitting on the steps, I know that's her.
Did she say anything about how she came to acquire a squirrel and, like, what the deal with that was?
I don't know the genesis of how she got the squirrel. Gigi told me that
she had that squirrel for years, and it was like a baby. She used to feed it with an eyedropper. But now it's just a regular squirrel. It just sits on her shoulder. And when she eats, she just, like, he climbs down, or he or she climbs down, eat out her bowl, and go back up.
It seems they have quite a relationship.
Wow.
And that may seem like just a funny anecdote, but in some cases it's really helpful because a lot of outreach work comes down to building relationships.
You have to earn their trust. You know what I mean? A lot of them have issues. They don't trust people, a lot of things. So you got to constantly go see them and get like a, you know what I mean, like a relationship. And then once they start trusting you, then they might take you up on some of your offers. But they might not either.
You also talked to someone for whom outreach really worked. He was chronically homeless, which is defined as being homeless for a year or more or being on the street four times in 3 years. What's his story?
So I met this one guy. His name was David Brown.
For 25 years, I lived on the street. I never could say that I gave back to the community. I never felt like I mattered in the community.
You know, he didn't want to deal with the shelter.
You know, they didn't care about my needs, my well-being. They just asked, what's your Social Security number? Like, I was a statistic. That's all that mattered. So me and 25 other people that were homeless decided to live on the street. It was a community.
They would kind of sleep there overnight and then leave during the day.
Project Homes used to stop by my camp because we called it a camp. They used to stop by and kick my box. Their thing was they were persistent. They came every day and they came with the same message. Please. That's the key word. Please come in. Please come in. We can help you. Please, can we talk to you? Please, can we help you? Do you want something to eat? Do you need a shower? That's the way they came.
So he was chronically homeless, and that actually qualified him for certain kinds of housing?
Right, and that opened the door for a slot at a permanent supportive housing program.
So they took me out to see it, and when I went there, I said, this can't be real. And I've been there ever since.
He now says he's just never going to leave. Like, he's good.
When I moved into that facility, it was like heaven. Why was it like heaven? Because I never had something that I can call my own.
Philadelphia is a city that used to have 2.5 million people. Now it has just over 1.5. And that means there's a lot of housing out there and rents are a little bit cheaper, right?
Right. When I talked to Dennis Culhane, who's this University of Penn professor who's been studying homelessness for a couple decades, he brought up this issue of vacancy rate.
Philly is the place where there's still room to grow.
So in Philadelphia, that has a vacancy rate of roughly 8%, that means that the competition for every unit is just not as high as a place like New York, like Boston, like San Francisco, which have vacancy rates that are, you know, in the 1-2% range.
City that's with very low vacancy rate means the rents are going to be substantially higher. And so someone in deep poverty is going to have a much tougher time making it.
And what that means is that there is affordable housing here. There's always calls for more of it, but it does exist. Unlike in other cities where there just isn't any. All the affordable housing has been replaced by high-income housing.
Obviously, Philadelphia isn't the only city dealing with homelessness. How unique is the way the city deals with it?
So one of the things that came up over and over was just sort of the general sense of collaboration and commitment to collaboration that this city has when it comes to this issue. So we're talking about, you know, the city partnering with service providers, and then we're also talking about this network of service providers who provide housing or food or, you know, counseling or whatever it is. There is sort of a sense that there's a commitment on the part of those folks to kind of work together on ending homelessness in Philadelphia, which I'm sure exists in other cities, but it's definitely more pronounced here.
As you and I both know, Philly's rents and property values have been going up for the last few years. What is that going to mean for, you know, dealing with homelessness in the city?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's a question that's on the minds of a lot of folks that are in this world, are, you know, residents who are living in poverty like they have been in some West Coast cities. Are they going to be pushed out of the housing market and onto the street? I think it's unclear what's going to happen right now. I mean, I think, yes, while there are parts of the city where the rents have gone up dramatically, I think the parts of the city we're talking about, that's not the case. And I don't know if it ever will be the case, at least not for some time. So I think that opportunity for folks to be able to keep a roof over their head will exist at least for a while.
Aaron, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.
Tomorrow night, the city is holding its annual memorial for those who've died on the street. And that's it for the show. The Why is produced by me and Annette John Hall. We had help on this episode from Kelsey Hansen and Jen Kinney. Subscribe to the podcast and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also comment on what you've heard on Twitter, tweet at Shai Ben Yaakov or at Annette JH. I'm Shai Ben Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.